In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Today we celebrate the precious and life-giving cross of our Lord. Two events related to it, both it being found on Golgotha and it being returned to Jerusalem from Persia. The Empress Helena, on a trip in the Holy Land, learned that the cross was likely buried under a temple dedicated to the Roman goddess Venus. So the Empress Helena ordered that the temple be torn down and that the cross be excavated from underneath it. However, she was surprised to find not one cross, but three crosses. So the patriarch, Macarius, had an idea. How do we know that which one is the true cross? He said, well, there's a funeral procession going by. Let's touch each cross to the corpse. And this will tell us what happened, which one is the true cross. So they touched the first cross, nothing. They touched the second cross, nothing. They touched the third cross to the body, and the man sat up. Clearly, this must be the life-giving cross of Christ. Later, Jerusalem was captured, and the Holy Cross was taken by its captors to Persia. It was recovered in the 600s, and as it was being processed by the emperor back to Jerusalem, the emperor was directed by an angel to disrobe and process through Jerusalem with the cross, much as Christ had done himself. And so he did so and restored it to its place at Golgotha in the Church of the Holy Resurrection. The cross is a curious thing. As we heard in the epistle, it's a stumbling block and it's folly. It's foolishness. And yet we wear it around our necks. We process with it. We hang it on our walls. We make it sign on our bodies. And often the priest blesses you with it. For the feast today, you'll hear several songs dedicated to the cross, but three in particular. We hear that Christ was raised up upon the cross of his own will, that this was not something that was forced upon him, though it may seem that way, but being God, he could have at any point refused. And yet, for our sake, he willed to ascend the cross. We also learn that the cross is intimately connected with the resurrection. We sing, we worship before the cross, and we glorify the resurrection of Christ. Very rarely in the Orthodox Church are the cross and the resurrection ever separated from each other. During Pascha, we sing about the cross and the resurrection. And at the exaltation of the cross today, we sing about the cross and the resurrection. We also sing, O Lord, save thy people, and do it by the power of your cross. Now, the cross was an instrument of torture and humiliation in the Roman Empire, and a gruesome one at that. I won't go into all the details because there's little kids here, but it was not pretty. This is the way that they shamed convicts and a warning to others not to commit similar crimes. But in Christ, The cross becomes the instrument by which death is defeated and we are preserved in life. Now we read in the scriptures that we are to take up our cross and follow Christ. But what does this mean? What does it mean to take up your cross? If we read the Gospel of John, we find that it simply means love. Take up your cross and love your neighbor. In John 13, Christ admonishes his disciples, "Love one another, even as I have loved you. This is how they will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another." Love one another, even as I have loved you. Well, how did Christ love his disciples? How does Christ love us? Well, just a little bit later in that conversation, he explains himself a little further. Christ continues, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. How did Christ love us? He loved us to the cross. By sending the cross voluntarily for our salvation. By laying down his life for his friends. Now, the Orthodox Church has a beautiful theology surrounding marriage. Marriage in the Orthodox Church is not an agreement so long as the two of you make each other happy. It is not for your own happiness, but for the mutual salvation of the couple. In marriage, sacrifice is required. And it's not always an even sacrifice. On the day that I got married, one of my uncles gave me some terrible advice. He told me, marriage is like a bank account. You need to make sure that you put in deposits so that you can also make withdrawals. So if you want to go hang out with the guys, make sure that you wash the dishes. It's a transaction. Horrible advice. No. You wash the dishes because it's for your salvation. You fold the laundry because it's for your salvation. You put up with whatever quirks your spouse has, God knows I have many, for your salvation. We are not called to be our spouse's judge or banker, but the one who loves them. The one who loves them as Christ loves us. We are called to lay down our life for the other. The same is with children, I found. Maybe even more so. I think it's easier with children. But we are called to lay down our life for them. And it is no different for each and every one of us in this room to the other. We are called to love one another, not because it makes us feel good, not because, I don't know, name another reason, but because it is for our salvation. We are called to lay down our life, to put aside our own desires for the other. Now, suffering is not an enjoyable thing. I think that goes by definition. But when we find ourselves really, really struggling with whatever suffering God has put in front of us, it is often because of our attachment to things of this world over the things of the kingdom. Possessions, ideas, friends, health. All of these are very good. They're all good until we value them above the kingdom. Remember, Christ did not say seek second the kingdom of God, but seek first the kingdom of God above all else. St. Paul, in his epistle to the Galatians, says, "Far be it from me to glory, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world." When we accept the crosses that are put in our lives, we reorient our lives on Christ and become his disciple. Our proper focus turns to Christ, and we are able to acknowledge our own sinful unworthiness. For Christ suffered the cross for us, knowing our brokenness. And in light of this, we ought to focus entirely on building up our relationship with Christ and not worry ourselves with the failings of others. When we accept our cross with thanksgiving, we are no longer, or at least less, burdened by our worldly attachments, and we are able to draw near to Christ and his kingdom. So my friends, take up your cross. Glory in it. Give thanks. Be blessed by it. And follow Christ. This is for your salvation. For the glory of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.